We're going to continue on our subject of restoring the image of what it is to be a godly family. How many people have been blessed because of this teaching? Amen? I'm going to tell you what, you know, this is some good revelation. Amen? I'm seeing some powerful things happen. Amen? In Jesus' name. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. Well, we had the air on all night, so we are praying that you are all right. That rhymed, didn't it? Air on all night, praying that you are all right. Amen. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor. My worship is my choice. My God. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you will dwell. But as for me, get cocky with it. Said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So you got to get cocky about that thing. Amen. It don't matter what everybody else is doing. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve him in the good. I'm going to serve him in the bad. I'm literally going to serve him. Amen. My life belongs to him. Are you catching what I'm saying? I'm not just a church goer. This is my life. He is my source. He is my help. He is my ever-present help in a time of trouble. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? There's nothing that could take his place. Come on, somebody say amen. He is my life source, my life giver. You got to choose and you got to set your mind like flint and say, you know what? I'm serving God. Come hell or high water, I'm not going to be moved by what he say, what she say, what he do, what she do. I'm serving God. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Look at what the New and Living Translation says right here. It says, but as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. We're going to continue to give you once again just a recap. The word family means a basic social unit consisting of parents and their children considered as a group. Amen. If you always want to know the end of a thing, you have to come back to the beginning. So we went to the beginning and showed you God's image of what a family is. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. It doesn't matter what CNN says a family is. Some people believe that two women can raise children. Some people believe two men can raise children. Some people are polygamists and believe one man and 12 women can raise 12 children. But I'm here to tell you, it's enough just to have one woman. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Glory be to God. If you got 12 women in the house at one time, boy, I'll tell you what, you got to be deaf, dumb, and blind. Amen. We're not saying nothing negative about women, but women are demanding. They will pull on your anointing. Amen. You have to be anointed to be a man nowadays. That's why most men won't be men. They'd rather be gay because they don't want to. Come on, somebody say amen to this good preacher right here. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. They'd rather switch down the street than be responsible. Amen. Anybody mad at me, are they? Praise God. We also want to recap on this. Before God gave the man a woman, God made that man in his image and in his likeness. And that man had three things that he lived by. Those three things, that man was intimate with God. Say he was intimate with God. He knew his identity. And he knew his destiny. Three things you should have as a man or even a woman before you start trying to find a mate. Is you should know God, know yourself, and know your assignment. Now, you could be progressively on the move of trying to accomplish your assignment. You don't have to be perfect, but trust me, if you don't know and she don't know and you come together, you both gonna not know. And while you both not knowing, you both gonna be yelling and screaming at each other because you don't know. Amen. Praise the Lord. So that man was intimate with God. The Bible teaches us in Genesis 3 and 8 and 9 that he walked with God in the cool of the day. We found out, no, he didn't walk with God after the fall of man. This was something he did since the very beginning. He was intimate with God. Say that man was intimate with God. Amen. And then he had his identity. Genesis 1 and 26. God made him in his own image, his own likeness. And then God gave that man in his own image and his own likeness dominion. Amen. Now, and then we see in verse 28, he had an assignment. God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. This is the process by which we should live by if we want to have successful marriages. Let me just say something to you right here. This is powerful right here. That if you are on a scale from 1 to 10, a 2 in your thinking, you will never get a 3 because a 3 will make you feel lower than yourself. You'll always get somebody equal to you or somebody below you. There is a problem because, like I said earlier, misery loves comfort. So if you are miserable, you're going to attract to you miserable people. Come on, somebody say amen. If you are a complainer, you're going to attract to you complaining people. So God wants us to elevate our way of thinking, our mindset, so that we attract to us the God-like kind of people. You are exactly who you hang around with. Come on, somebody say amen. You say, well, I love the Lord and you know, he's my source and all that. But if you're still hanging around everybody else who's a smoking and a drinking and a smoking. Hey, yeah. If you're still doing that right there, guess what? That's who you are. Amen. You can never elevate yourself past the way you think. And if you think that way, you're attracting people who think that way to you. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So it's important that you know who you are before you start trying to jump out into marriage. It just blows my mind how young people, teenagers, amen, they got all this, you know, energy and how can I say it? What's the word? You know, the hormones, energy, and they got hormones and they flying all around and they watching, you know what I'm saying, MTV and BET, and they seeing everybody, you know, hugging and kissing and hugging and everything. And they want relationships. Come on, somebody say amen. They want relationships. But what they want is they want relationships without responsibility. Come on, somebody say amen to this. So when you go through the process of intimacy, identity, and destiny, guess what? You get relationship with responsibility. If you get a relationship without responsibility, you're going to make babies and not take care of them. Right. Don't matter how good you look. You can have a sweet suit on. You know what I'm saying? You can have the best shoes on. Amen. But if you don't take care of your babies, you are deadbeat daddy. Come on, somebody say amen. I didn't say it. The Bible said it. Don't get mad at me because I bring it out the way I bring it out. Praise the Lord. G. Rod, you gonna help me, man? Yeah, come on up here and preach with me, brother. Amen. Glory be to God. So before you start trying to choose a mate, amen, you need to deal with these three things in your own personal life. Now, I'm not saying you can't make it, because guess what? When I met my wife, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know who God was. I definitely didn't know what I was here for. So guess what? His grace carried me through. I was able to make it, but I had to go through the process of being mentored by other men. Amen. My wife had to go through the process of being mentored by other women. That's why you got to understand. Now, listen to this right here. You can't be a person that's an island unto yourself. We are in year 2011. I don't even think they play Lone Ranger on TV anymore. Amen. You know what I mean? Ain't no Tonto running around behind you. Amen. Doing whatever you tell him to do. You need people to be connected to. Isolation will equal and result in amputation. When you separate yourself from people who God has designed for you to be connected to, you separate yourself from the life source. If I take an apple limb and cut it off the apple tree, the apple will lose its life source and the limb will lose its life source. If I have water connected to a building in a hose, watch this right here, and guess what? I cut the source off. It may be a little water left in the hose, but eventually the source has ran out, so the water will run out. So if you disconnect yourself from the people who's supposed to be your source, that's why faithfulness to the local church is so important. Why? Because when you're connected and you're committed, guess what? When you think of something stupid, there's somebody to rub that stupid thought off of, and they can let you know that that's stupid. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. But if you ain't connected to the right person, you're going to think that stupid thing up and act on that stupid thing. Now you're going to get stupid results. Come on, somebody say amen. But so God wants you to be connected to people that are bigger than you, not just people that sit around and they're yes people. Everything that you say, they say yes to. No, God wants you to be connected to people that know more than you, because if you're not connected to people that know more than you, guess what? You become the source and everybody else, blind leading the blind, going to fall in the ditch. You better catch what I'm saying. I'm preaching good. We're talking about restoring the family into the godly image. So I don't want to jump off of this. Don't be trying to get in no relationship. I don't care if you're 13 or 30. If you don't know who you are, you better get in that word. If you don't know what you're here for, you better get in that word. Because if you don't know who you are and you start getting with somebody else who don't know who they are, y'all both going to be jacked up. Amen. Well, I love you, baby. How can you love somebody and you don't know love? Can I preach it, y'all? God is love. So in order for you to know love, you got to know God. You don't know love, you know lust. Come on, somebody say amen. Never really mattered too much to me. I went way back, didn't I, y'all? It let me love you down. I'm for real. That's where we get our love from. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. That's where we get our love from, the radio and the television. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Mom and daddy didn't know how to love each other. They ain't teach us how to love. Come on, somebody. They didn't know God. How could they teach us how to love when they didn't know love? Amen. So we read the books, and the people who wrote the books didn't know love. Amen. The same people that wrote the books about love are the same ones that are saying that you can be two girls and be married. Come on, somebody say amen. Them folk don't know love. God is love. It's impossible to know love without knowing God. Come on, somebody say amen. Don't tell nobody you love them no more if you don't know God. You ain't spending no intimate quality time with God. No fellowship with God. Don't be walking up saying, I love you. You don't love me. Come on, somebody say amen. I can prove to you you don't love me. All I got to do is cross you the wrong way and you'll cut me off. Love never fails. Love never quits. Love never caves in. So no matter what I do to you, guess what? You won't cut me off. Why? Because you know love. God is love. Guess what? Jesus died on the cross because he was love embodied. Come on, somebody say amen. I feel good today. Woo-hoo. He was love embodied. So everybody running around trying to find love, but they need to go look to God because he is love. He's the source of love. Whew. Help me, Holy Ghost. So when that man had his stuff together, God gave him a woman. And God brought that woman. I'm going to say something powerful. God brought that woman, man with a womb. He brought that man with a woman, that woman to him. And that man gave that woman, that man with a womb, her identity. My God, you got to catch what I'm saying. Footnote. That's why daughters are trying to find other men to give identity to them, because the fathers haven't given it to them. I remember a rapper, a girl, her name was Trina. You know what I'm talking about. She had a song out where she talking about she was the baddest, B-I-T-I-C. Well, I'm spelling it wrong. And if you knew why I spelt it wrong, it's because my stepfather used to have a way he spelt it, and it was funny, but I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. He said, Bigfoot, he said, your mama acting like a B-I-T-I. Amen. I'm sorry. Only in image of God, Christian Center Church. Can we be real? Can we be real here, y'all? Amen. Amen. Praise God. The same ones that's getting religious is cussing people out at home. Now watch this right here. Watch this right here. So she said she was the baddest B. A whole generation of young girls started wearing shirts that said baddest B on the back of the shirt. Looking for identity. See, this is why it's so important for us as men to know who we are. Because we are the identity givers. But if we still running around trying to act like 50 Cent and Young Jock and Cassidy, come on, somebody say amen. And Al Capone. Amen. Al Pacino, you know. Say hello to. If we still trying to do that, guess what? We got issues and we can't give nobody else any identity. Y'all know why I'm telling the truth. Amen. So they're going to look for it from somewhere else. Amen. After that man, somebody say that man. And that woman got together for the purpose of accomplishing God's assignment. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, have dominion. Now, I'm going to say something strong. You and that woman are not together for the purpose of just having sex. You are not together for the purpose of just getting a good job with a good car and a big house. You were given innately at birth, before birth, an assignment from God. You better catch what I'm saying. That only you can accomplish. Come on, somebody say amen. That assignment needs your helpmate to help you bring it to pass. She's not there to follow you or walk in front of you. She's there to be beside you. Come on, somebody say amen. I could not do what I'm doing without my wife. My wife is bold as a lion. Sometimes I got to calm her down. I'll be careful because she on me, you know. I'm just messing around. Amen. But listen, though. Listen, though. She's there beside you. Somebody say beside. Now, religion was like, woman, obey. I'm going to teach you by revelation today what the Bible says. Somebody say the Bible, what the Bible says. Okay? Now, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. And let's walk this thing through. And don't worry about the single people. We're going to talk to you, too. We're going to talk to the whole family today. We're going to bless you up. Say, he's about to bless you up. Let me just say something to you women. You know what? You women, according to Proverbs chapter 31, you got a tongue with the ability to build your house up through wisdom. Now, I want to say something to you right here. You can either tear your house down or you can build your house up. Doesn't matter what your husband is doing right now. I'm telling you right now, you have the ability to build your house up. You want to build your house up? Build your husband up. I'm telling you. Build your house up. Build your husband up. Come on, say that with me, ladies. Build your house up. Build your husband up. Well, Pastor, why am I going through? My husband is a knucklehead. Why am I going through what I'm going through? He's a boxhead. You know, why am I going through this? He don't do nothing. You know why? He won't listen. He won't listen to God. He won't listen to me. Why am I going through that? Guess what? God is challenging your faith. Build your house up. Build your husband up. Or build your husband up, you build your house up. Why? Because the word husband means house band. If you build the house band up, he will band the house together. If you tear the house band down, he will dismantle and disband the house. Are you catching what I'm saying? I'm preaching good today. And you know what us men, we just act like buttheads. I'm just being honest. Come on, men, help me out. No, I'm not. Y'all know we do it. I'm driving down the street in the car. I'm in the car in Nashville. My wife said, honey, I think you lost. I said, baby, I got this. She said, honey, I think I done went 30 miles out the way, almost running out of gas if I would have just listened. Come on, somebody say amen. Now, listen, I ain't trying to get no kudos from the women, man. I still need y'all on my side, so stay with me. I'm just trying to tell you. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. You know what I mean? Now, I can tell you about the women, too. Women lose keys all the time. Come on, somebody say amen to this. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. So, listen, before God gave them children, God gave them together an assignment. A husband and a wife who don't know their assignment trying to bear children is going to raise up children who won't know their assignment. Are you catching what I'm saying? Okay, and then your kids going to run out to the world system and they're going to be following everybody else and everybody else's dreams. See, my daughter Victoria, she'll tell you right now, I got her harnessed. I know exactly what she loves. And I'm not trying to put her on Front Street, but my daughter loves music. I'm not worried about no little boy messing with her because all I got to do is pull the music rein in. See, as a father, I've studied her and I know what her desires are and what her heart is. And I love her and she loves me enough, amen, that I'm not concerned about no other boy taking her heart until I'm ready to give her heart away. Are you catching what I'm saying? Come on, somebody say amen to this. That's daddy talk. You see what I'm saying? Now, it ain't just me. It's other good men in this ministry that love my daughter, that keep her guarded. We do that because we're all family. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. You know what I mean? But we have to do that because guess what? The world are after our daughters and they're after our sons. This thing, listen, y'all, this thing ain't just about, can I give the real gospel to y'all? This thing ain't just about how many people, devils we cast out and how many people crawl around on the floor and snakes come out their belly and stuff. It's not about all that. This is what it's about. If we can fix the family, we can fix the planet. We got to fix the family first, though. So in order to fix the family, we got to fix the house band. We got to fix the husband. So that means while you're at home, if your husband acting up, you go somewhere in the room, you find a couple Bible scriptures, and you start releasing faith. And you start speaking the word. He is a man of valor. He is a king and a priest. He is anointed by God, called by God, chosen by God for such a time as this. Start calling things that be not as though they were. And guess what? You'll probably go back to the room, and you'll still be acting like a knucklehead. But guess what? Can I talk about the dead man thing? You dead, right? So dead people don't respond. So you go back and you lay in your casket, and when they start talking to you, you don't respond because you're dead. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Did y'all catch what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's vice versa. That's the way we grow up. Because guess what? God puts us with people who we cannot change so that we will change.
Hey.
Don't they challenge your faith? I can't stand you. You get on my nerves. You big bucket head, box head. You got two left feet and your grandmama hair is gray and she got a bald spot on the top. I'm trying to. Amen. You guys already noticed because of the destruction of the family, you know, it's almost 25 million kids in America without a father. If you remove the father, you remove purpose. Come on, somebody say that. You remove purpose. You remove prosperity. You remove peace. And you remove protection. I'm going to tell you what Bishop T.D. Jakes said. Baby, if you got a man, don't belittle him. Build him up. Because most women don't have one nowadays. So you better thank God for the one you got. Come on, somebody say amen. I'm trying to tell you something. Thank God for the one you got. Find out where he is geographically in according to the word of God and start line upon line, precept upon precept, building him up. Because one day he's going to move from one place to the next. Progressively. I was talking with my staff yesterday and we were all talking about and we were throwing up things that were kind of hard because we was trying to figure out how we can better ourselves to serve the community and serve you better. You know what I mean? And there were some negative things that came up, but my staff could tell you they noticed that I kept regurgitating and spitting out. But look at all the good. Look at through the process. We used to be here, but look at where we are right now. We used to be here, but look at where we are right now. That's what I'm trying to say. He used to be there, but look where he is right now. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Because I'm telling you what, there is an attack on the man. There is a demonic attack on the man. You better catch what I'm saying. Because he know once the men get themselves together, the whole family going to line up. So if I can keep the man out of prayer, I can keep the wife out of prayer. I keep the daughter out of prayer. I keep the son out of prayer. If I keep the man out of prosperity, I keep the family poor. I keep the man from being protected, I keep the family. Come on. You better catch what I'm saying. I'm trying to talk to you. That's why we got a vision to build up men here. Build up men here. Now, can I be real? Can I be real, Adrian, Michigan? Never in my life have I ever seen a city where men are not being men. I'm being real. I'm being a real pastor. I'm being a real pastor. Everybody jogging up and down the street trying to be boxers at 40, 50 years old. Come on, somebody say amen. Get tired of that mess. Everybody riding around on bicycles like Debo. Go get a driver's license. Get yourself a Pinto and push that thing like Chris Tucker. I don't care what you got to do. Oh my God, Jesus help me. I ain't talking about nobody. I used to be the same way. Thought I was a hustler. Thought I was a thug. Run around with $60 worth of rocks in my pocket. Thought I was, come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
Staying at my mama house. I got a whip with rims at my mama house. Come on, somebody say amen. My God. It's tight, but it's right. Jesus, I got to move on. So much for notes. Because of the family is broken down, we've been experiencing what we call, what I call, what the Bible calls generational curses. The book of Proverbs says the curse doesn't come without a cause. If you see a negative reaction, there was a cause. You remember when in school we were taught cause and effect. Y'all remember that? We're taught that in elementary. Cause and effect. You know what I mean? So there was something that caused what we was affecting us. If poverty is affecting me, something caused it. If lust is affecting me and I can't shake that monkey, can't get him off, something caused it. Now, I'm not trying to blame it on somebody else, but what I'm trying to tell you is we got to go back and find the root instead of dealing with the fruit. Are you catching what I'm saying? We're so busy dealing with the fruit. We send them over here to the human service and they pluck the leaf off. But we're trying to get human service to send them over here to the image of God so we can dig the root up. Because the root of the problem is something happened through the bloodline that the Bible calls iniquity. That's why Isaiah 53 and 5 says, but he was wounded for our transgressions. Transgression deals with what you do. But he was bruised for my iniquity. Iniquity deals what they did. See, I can stop what I did, but first I got to find out what they did. Lamentations 5 and 7 says, my father sinned and I'm suffering their punishment. See, guess what? Some of us is suffering what somebody else did. My God, the weight of generations of times past visited me when I was 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and everybody else wanted to lock me up. They didn't want to show me why I was acting the way I was acting. We got to get past why. Listen, you can't stand up no more and think that I am an addict. I smoke crack. That's going to change you. That's not going to change you. You got to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You got to get, my God. Jesus, help me. Whew. Something was causing us to act the way we acted. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. Why are the things attracted to you that are attracted to you? Why are the people attracted to you that are attracted to you? Why is your sphere of influence of the people that they are? There's a reason why. You attract to you who you are. That means it's deeper than what you do. It's about who you are. God is more concerned about your who than he is your do. That's why Jesus didn't come and say, you're a sinner, 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 you're a sinner. He came and died and said, they can't change, so I got to get in their stead. I got to provide the example of what it is to be a man of God, a woman. Come on, somebody say amen. Then we became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That'll make you walk with people better than you're walking with them now. That'll make you have love, which love is long suffering. Love doesn't hold a record of wrongs. I wouldn't even talk about preaching about love today, but it's pouring out of my spirit. Love does not hold a record of wrongs. When somebody do you wrong, love ain't tallying it up and say, did this, did this, did this, did this. Listen, doesn't matter they did it to you 70 times 7. Peter said, how often should we forgive them? God said, 70 times 70. Lord, have mercy. Are you hearing this right here? Amen. Tell your neighbor, it's your neighbor. You've been redeemed. I told you the story about what it is to be redeemed, and I'm going to tell it to you again. The word redeemed more than means just bought back. The picture of the word redeemed is a man who had a farm. He had a goat, and the goat got stolen. Somebody saw his goat laying in the side of the road in a ditch. Chained up or roped up. The man once saw his goat. The goat laid as if he were dead. Roped up hand and foot or hoof and hoof. Whatever you want to call it. The man walked up. He tapped the goat. And the goat moved and lifted his head up. And he said, wow, my goat ain't dead. So he took a knife and he cut the ropes. And cut the ropes. See, Jesus took a knife and he cut the ropes off of your life. I'm sorry for spitting, but he cut the ropes already. You don't need him to cut the ropes no more. He already cut the ropes already. So Jesus cut the ropes, and then the man said, get up, old goat, and the goat wouldn't move. So finally he kicked the goat and said, get up, old goat, you are free and you don't even know it. That's what redemption means. Redemption means when Jesus died, you got freed, and you've been living like you're bound, but you're free and you don't even know it. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. As it is written, cursed is he that hangeth upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You are blessed. You are blessed. You are the seed of Abraham. You are blessed. You catch what I'm saying right here? I don't care what your job is saying, what your bank account is saying, what your mama said, what your cousin is saying. You are blessed right now. You are empowered to prosper. No weapon formed against you. You better catch what I'm saying. You are blessed. Come on, say, I'm blessed. See, don't determine your blessing based upon your mess. Don't determine your blessing based upon your mess. My God. Jesus, help me. God's divine order of the family. 1 Corinthians 11:3. I just got a couple more scriptures and I'm done. Somebody tell me the time. Praise God. Y'all learning something today? I'm telling you, there's an anointing in here today to make you walk out there and smack a devil in his mouth. I'm telling you right now, there is an anointing in here right now. There is an anointing in here right now. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, you can do it. Because he already done it. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The bondage that's holding you is the work of the devil. It's been destroyed. You got to believe it. The work of the kingdom of God is to believe. How do you build up your believing? You keep getting in the word and you keep thinking on things that are pure, things that are lovely, things that are just, things that are of good report, things that have virtue, things that are praiseworthy. Think on those things. The more you think on those things. But if you sit around the house all day and think about what you don't have, who don't love you, who talking about you, guess what? You're going to build a negative mental picture and the image on the inside of you, and can't nobody change you. You could be a rich man, prosperous man, walking and never arrive to that location. Why? Because your mental picture that you have about yourself. Are you catching what I'm saying? Jesus. Here it is right here. Be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. Now I praise you. Verse 2. Brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances. Somebody say ordinances. This is God's divine instructions, his laws, as I have delivered to you. Listen to me. If you keep God's instructions, if you keep God's laws, if you keep God's principles, how do you keep them? First, you keep them in your thinking. Write this down. First, you keep them in your thinking. Then you keep them in your speaking. Then they'll arrive in your acting. First, you keep them in your thinking. Then you keep them in your speaking. Then they'll arrive in your acting. Watch this. They'll just jump out of you because guess what? You've been keeping them in your thinking and you've been keeping them in your speaking, and you can't do nothing other than who you are. This is what changes who you are, what you think and what you speak. Proverbs says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We are a direct reflection of how we think. Are you catching what I'm saying? So quit thinking negative about yourself. Quit thinking low about yourself. Quit thinking low and negative about everybody else. Come on, somebody say amen. Think what God thinks about you. I'm not going to lie to you. Opportunities will present themselves to change the way you think about yourself. But don't allow you. Have you ever seen a person get up on stage and they just perform and they just think they're the hottest performer? You look at them, well, what the heck are they doing? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You ever seen somebody play basketball? You know what I'm saying? Like G-Rod? I'm just joking. I'm just joking. I'm just joking. But have you ever seen somebody that was just so confident that no matter how terrible they were, you didn't care because they were so confident? See, you can even be the thing that everybody is calling you. Or you could be doing the thing that everybody is calling you. But don't allow that to fashion who you are. I'm going to quote Jakes again. He said, you may have done what they said you did, but you are not who they said you are. Amen. You may have done what they said you did, but you are not who they said you are. You know, it's so funny. And I talked about this. That's why we can't be judgmental people. The Bible said, judge no man before his time. The Lord is able to make him stand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The person that you thought would never make it. I had a man of God tell me yesterday. He said, I never thought that that church would get that building. God is in the business of doing the impossible. He He likes people that have great impossibilities. He likes to choose the low people. Come on, somebody say amen. Everybody in this church are low people, no matter what caliber of life you're in. You're a low person because God chose you. You better catch what I'm saying. See, God has the ability to take a Saul and kick him off his high horse, getting blind in his own way of thinking and seeing, and allow him to go to a person that he didn't even believe the same way he believed, so that that man can lay hands on him and make him see again. See, God, oh my God, you got to catch what I'm saying. God is in the business of choosing the weak things, the low things, the things that have no value. Why? Because that's the only thing that God can use. God can't use a person that's trying to use themselves. Come on, somebody say amen. I think I'll give God my talent. No, you're not giving God nothing. God gave it to you. It ain't your talent in the first place. I think I'll give God my education. No, you're not giving God your education. God gave it to you. You wouldn't have nothing. All God got to do is go, whoo, take it from you, baby. You be sitting up with a helmet on your head talking about da, da, da. I'm trying to tell you something. All he got to do is take it from you. I like Ben Tankard. Ben Tankard is a mega church pastor now. But Ben Tankard was a professional basketball player. And Ben Tankard had that skill. And one day, he lost his ability to do it in his own power. I think he broke or cut his Achilles tendon or whatever it is, and he couldn't play no more. So he poured his whole life into basketball. But guess what? Ben had enough sense to go sit down at a church and worship God. And that man sat down at that piano, and he began to play. Wasn't taught, wasn't trained. Some old lady came. Holy Ghost, fire baptized woman like Pastor Rosie, laid hands on him, poured him with oil. That man has sold millions of dollars worth of albums all over the country. Are you catching what I'm saying here? See, God will take you in the worst condition that you are in, because that's how he likes to build. He told the Apostle Paul. Paul said, Lord, please take this from me. He said, I can't take this. I asked him three times, and God said, listen here, you're in a great position, Paul. He said, my strength is made perfect when you are weak. Yes. Come on, how many weak people we got in the house? So you got to get to the place in your life where, God, I can't do it without you. When you think let me just be real. I see guys driving around, and you know what I'm saying? And you ever see a person, they have that look on their face like, I'm the man. And you talk to them. You know, when I talk to people like that, they talk to me like I was like, got jailhouse religion or something like that. You're weak. You know, you're doing what you're doing because you couldn't handle life. But look at me. You know what I mean? I can handle life. You know, like the big chin guy. You know what I'm talking about? Look at me. I can handle life. Those kind of people right there, I leave them and I pray God knock him off his high horse. You know what I mean? Because I wanted to knock him for real. I'm just playing around. Knock him off the high horse, God. Amen. God's order for the family is verse 3. I would have you to know that the head of every man is what? And the head of every woman is what? And the head of Christ is what? Now, turn to Ephesians chapter 5 right quick. We're going to end this right quick, y'all. I just want to help you. Ephesians chapter 5. I want you to look at verse 18. I'm going to skip a couple verses, but I want you to read this in the context of the scripture. There are no verses and no chapters in the original letters, okay? So this is a letter. You ready? Verse 18 says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 and 20 tells you how to be filled with the Spirit. I'm going to skip those. Verse 21 also ends with telling you how to be filled with the Spirit, but I'm going to start at verse 21. So this right here is the result of a person that is filled with the Spirit. Now, tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I'm full of the Holy Spirit. Say it two more times. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I'm full. Now, watch this. If you're not full, you're going to have some bull. I'm just telling you right now, you're not going to respond right. You're not going to act right. You're not going to be able to do these things right here. So take the verses and the chapters out and read it as a letter. Verse 19 and verse 20 and verse 21 is telling you how to be filled. Here's the result of it right here. 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in fear of God. The word fear there is the word that means reverence. Reverence. Somebody say reverence. Now, when I do marriage counseling, this is not just for marriages. When I do marriage counseling, I take two cups, and one cup is full of water. And I say, according to your reverence cup will be the result of your submission cup. If your reverence cup is empty, your submission cup will be empty. Let's just read it right here. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. One translation says, out of reverence for God. That means out of my reverence will evolve my submission. Are you catching what I'm saying? So if you're not submitted to your husband or your wife or your boss or your pastor, it's because you have no reverence. If you have no reverence for God, you will have no submission for man. Come on, somebody say amen. Okay, we still preaching good. We still teaching good, right? If you have no reverence for God, you have no submission for man. A person that is reverent will be at church every time the doors are open, unless there is a situation that will disagree with that, that is permissible. I can't live without God's word. Are you catching what I'm saying? Well, I can have God's word at home. I beg to differ with you. No, you cannot. God instituted the fivefold ministry. It's his plan. It's his way of doing things. Are you catching what I'm saying? Amen. And I'm not beating y'all up because y'all here. Y'all can take that home to the people who said, I'm too tired to come to church today. Somebody say amen to this. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. This is God's way of doing things. He told you, he said, submit yourself unto your husband as unto the Lord. He's responding to verse 21. If you're reverencing God, you will submit to your husband. What does it mean to submit? It means to come under. Somebody say, come under. That don't mean he's the thumbtack. Come under his vision. Are you catching what I'm saying? Somebody say, come under. It's getting quiet now when I start talking about submission. It really does. You know what I mean? It's like, Pastor, go back to that other stuff he was preaching. Verse 23. For the husband, I'm going to get to men in a minute. The husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. This is God's way of doing things. Okay, y'all? Not the world's. I don't care what Oprah said. I don't care what Oprah said. Matter of fact, you need to turn Oprah off. Turn her off. Jerry Springer, turn him off. Them people from the devil, they demon possessed. You know how you tell if a person is demon possessed? By the words that come out of their mouth. I know TV taught you that. And their head spin around and start stabbing itself. That ain't how a person is demon possessed. You determine, You determine if a person is demon possessed by the words that are coming out of their mouth. Come on, somebody say amen. He said, my words are spirit. Spirits talk. The Bible said in the book of Revelation that the evil spirits leaked out of the false prophets' mouths. Words. Lord have mercy. Jesus help us. 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. I told you, the husband is a house band. Therefore, you build the husband up, you'll build the house up. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in what? Everything. Now, that don't mean if your husband is trying to go to the club, you should follow him. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Amen. Here we go. 25. I'm about to get you men. You ready? I'm about to let you in on something that you probably never heard before. So I'm going to get you. All my men with me? Come on, man. Say I could take it, Pastor. That was three of them. You take it back. Come on. I could take it, Pastor. Come on. I could take it, Pastor. Verse 24. You ready? I'm 25. Husbands. Somebody say husbands. Love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself. I'm going to tell you how to give yourself. Be like the brother that said, I give myself away. You give yourself to God. Then you can love your wife. The word never says anywhere for the wife to love the man. Come on. I'm going to give you a revelation. Never does it say for the wife to love the man. It says for the man to love the wife. The Bible says the woman is the image of the man, but the man is the image of God. Now, I'll get deep with you in a minute. I'm about to show you something. So when the man gets with God, he is the full expression of the love of God embodied. Now he loves his wife and gives himself to God. I'm trying to show you something right here. As he gives himself to God, the wife will in turn honor and reverence him. Yeah. I didn't get that from no book either. I'm trying to tell you something right here. If we love our wives, they will honor us and reverence us. See, God set the whole thing up. If your husband ain't lovable, you honor him because you're honorable. Are you catching what I'm saying, women? But he ain't loving me right. Honor him right. This is some good stuff, ain't it, y'all? It's some good stuff. So this is what we do in the world system, because we got to get the world out the church. Tell your neighbor, say, get the L out of here. Now, somebody thought I cussed, but if you take the word world, W-O-R-L-D, take the L out, you'll have word. Get the L out of here. If you get the L out of, if you get the world out of your life and start doing things God's way, loving unconditionally. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. That he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that it shall be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. I'm going to put it on me. If I'm not loving my wife right, it means I'm not loving me right. Are you catching what I'm saying? If I love me, I'll do what? Love my wife. Well, Pastor, how come I don't love me? Because I haven't received his love. Oh my God, there's some old thick stuff right here. Just get the two. If I receive his love, now I can love me. And it's easy for me to love her. Then she honors me and reverences me. And then turn to chapter 6, verse 1. I mean, take the chapters out, y'all. Take the verses out and look at how well the Apostle Paul wrote this thing. He said, if you're full of the Spirit, you'll be able to submit. And when you submit and have, when you're full of the Spirit, you'll have reverence. And when you have reverence, you'll submit. The husband will love the wife. The wife will honor the husband. We're talking about fixing the planet. Now watch this. And then you look at chapter 6, verse 1. Take the chapters out. Take the verses out. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Are you seeing the process? If we are full of the Spirit, we'll operate in reverence. If we operate in reverence, we'll operate in submission. If we operate in submission, we will love. If we love, they will honor. And when they honor and love is in the house, the children gonna obey. If the children ain't obeying, it means maybe the woman ain't reverencing. And if the reverend ain't reverencing, maybe the husband ain't loving. If the husband ain't loving, maybe ain't nobody reverencing God. If ain't nobody reverencing God, then they ain't full of the Spirit. They full of something else. Gee. Are you catching what I'm saying? So diabolos, devil, twice through, ball, throw, until you gain entrance and divide. Because there's no fullness in the house. He's dividing the house. He divides the house. He divides the church. He divides the church. He divides the community. Divide the community. He divides the city. Divide the city. He divides the state. Divide the state. Divide the country. It's a good plan, I'm trying to tell you. So, where are we right now? On the scale of reverence, we got to back it all the way up. When the last time you got full of the Holy Ghost? Did you catch how I did that, G-Rod? When the last time you got full of the Holy Ghost? Because out of being full will come reverence. Out of reverence will come submission. Out of submission will come love. Out of love will come honor. Out of honor will come obedience. Oh my God. Come on, stand to your feet. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.